Iran says talks in Vienna aimed at reviving the 2015 nuclear deal will proceed in a better direction if the U.S. walks away from unilateralism. U.S. President asks for talks with his French counterpart amid a row over Australia's cancellation of a submarine order in favor of a security deal with Washington and London. And a new report says the U.S. military was urgently warned about civilian presence before its deadly drone attack in the Afghan capital of Kabul last month. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran has once again called on the United States to abandon its unilateralist approach to the 2015 nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. In his weekly briefing, Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh said talks in Vienna aimed at reviving the JCPOA will proceed in a better direction if the U.S. walks away from unilateralism. He said Tehran needs to make sure if Washington can be trusted in its willingness to meet its JCPOA obligations again in a verifiable way. Khatibzadeh stressed that Iran will not take on any more commitments beyond the nuclear deal, nor will it accept benefits beneath what the JCPOA had promised. Iran and the remaining parties to the accord have held several rounds of talks in the Austrian capital to restore the nuclear deal. This 3 years after the U.S. unilaterally stepped out of the accord and reimposed and reinforced sanctions on Iran. Meanwhile, the chief of staff of Iran's armed forces has warned that Tehran will destroy bases of anti-Iran terrorist groups in northern Iraq if they stage more attacks against Iranians. Major General Mohammad Hossein Bagheri said the Islamic Republic will not tolerate any mischief in its western border regions, referring to anti-terror operations by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps. In the past 2 weeks, General Bagheri said such efforts against terrorist groups will expand if they keep staging the attacks. He also called on the Kurdistan Regional Government and the Iraqi government to counter anti-Iran groups. He said Iraqi officials must prevent armed groups in the area from having training barracks, radio and television station, and or camps. The region has been used for a long time by anti-Iran groups, such as the Kurdistan Workers' Party and its offshoot PJAC, to launch sporadic attacks on Iranian border areas. Political commentator Syed Mohsen Abbas says the U.S. and Israel are the main supporters of the PJAC terrorist group as they provide it with equipment, training, and information.
They are essentially a proxy force. They operate primarily with the support of Israel and, of course, the United States of America. This is essentially an open secret, although they won't admit it, obviously. Israel's relations with the Kurds can be traced back to the implementation of its alliance of the periphery. It's commented that Israel and Iranian Kurdish insurgent organizations like PJAC have common interest in weakening the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran for many decades. PJAC has an interesting relationship because although they are totally in alliance with the PKK, which is designated as a terror organization on the surface by the Americans, etc. But the PJAK is actually supported openly. They really don't mind. Seymour Hersh in The New Yorker made this very obvious, stating that the U.S. military and the Israelis are giving the group equipment, training, and targeting information in order to cause destruction. This is a pattern that's set in, but it's all part of the long-term destabilization of the Islamic Republic of Iran from its western borders. I think what Iran is emphasizing now, that enough is enough.
New details have emerged on Israel's assassination of Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. U.S. media say Israel's spying agency Mossad had been monitoring and wanted to kill Iran's top nuclear scientist for years. The report also points to the significant role the former U.S. President Donald Trump played in facilitating the attack. Israel reportedly used an artificially intelligent-assisted sniper machine gun placed on the way of Fakhri Zadeh's convoy to assassinate him. Israel had tried to kill him in 2009, but the mission had failed and been called off after the Iranian intelligence discovered the plot. Meanwhile, families of five Iranian nuclear scientists assassinated over the past decade have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government.
The serial killings of Iranian scientists must stop. This comment was made by families of the five slain nuclear scientists who were allegedly assassinated by Israeli agents. Now, the households of the victims have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. for its support for Tel Aviv and what people here call terrorist activities against Iran.
I believe the reason that they did this in front of my eyes and my mother's eyes was to terrorize people. That's what terrorists do.
We have already gotten too late into this legal proceeding. They killed my husband 12 years ago, and I still feel the pain. It's not easy to forget such a great loss. The point is, America and Israel do not feel sorry for this, and that's why we ask Iranian and international judicial systems to bring the perpetrators to justice.
Iran does not recognize Israel as a country. This is why the case is not directly aimed at Israel, but is targeting the U.S. as a supporting force behind Tel Aviv. If succeeded, the move will lead to the freezing of American assets in foreign countries.
We are now waiting for the verdict of Iran's Court for International Affairs. We will follow up the case in countries that maintain judicial cooperation with Iran. There, we will demand that U.S. assets be blocked and transferred as compensation to the families of the victims. This is to remind the criminal governments that their crimes will not go unanswered.
Israel has a history of targeted killing of Iranian nuclear scientists since 2010. While Tel Aviv has not commented on any of the assassinations, its footsteps can be traced in all of the incidents. In this video, recorded in 2018, ex-Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gives the game away.
Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, head of Project Abad, put it. Remember that name, Fakhrizadeh.
Less than 2 years after this comment, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who was a key Iranian nuclear scientist, was assassinated. Over the years, different American and Israeli officials have spoken openly about, quote, taking down the nuts and bolts of Iran's nuclear industry. The plaintiffs here say the U.S. was trying to do so by killing Iranian nuclear scientists, and today by enforcing the so-called maximum pressure campaign against Iran. But they say both measures have so far failed, and the West is now urging Iran to sit and talk about its nuclear program in Vienna to revive the 2015 nuclear pact.
Plaintiffs here hope that their lawsuit against the U.S. will break the chain of Washington's targeting of the Iranian scientific community. But they say the underlying messages are even more important, as the case lays bare the U.S.'s double standards with regards to human rights. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Mourners from across the globe have begun their march toward the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to mark the Muslim occasion of Arba Ain. Now, the pilgrims have already kicked off their long journey in convoys to arrive at their destination on time to observe the event on September the 27th. Arba Ain commemorations are held annually to observe the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. He was martyred along with 72 of his companions in an unequal battle with troops of the tyrant ruler of the time over 13 centuries ago. Well, the battle known as Ashura is one of the most important religious occasions marked by Muslims. Moving on now to other news this hour. U.S. President Joe Biden has asked for talks with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, amid tensions over a submarine deal involving the U.S., U.K., and Australia. Paris says Biden and Macron will speak on the phone in coming days. France is outraged after Australia scrapped a 2016 deal with the French naval group to build a dozen conventional submarines. Australia instead entered a pact to build at least 8 nuclear-powered ones with U.S. and British technology. France has accused the U.S. and Australia of lying and duplicity. It has also recalled French ambassadors to Washington and Canberra. Australia has said it understands France's disappointment, but it has acted in its national interest. Britain has also said the pact shows London's readiness to be heard-headed in defending its own interests. Our correspondent in Paris, Kristen Hun, says Canberra's cancellation of the submarine deal was a huge blow to France, both economically and diplomatically.
It's a huge diplomatic crisis, and the words used by French Foreign Affairs Minister Le Drian are very strong. He speaks about reorganizing the NATO, the European defense, taking measures to take more distance with the US and the UK. At this moment, it's all strong words, not yet followed by acts. It shows that France is furious about the cancellation of this this contract. It must be said that the contract between Australia and France was about conventional submarines. Meanwhile, the new contract with the US and the UK is about nuclear submarines. So that might be an important difference in the production. It's also important to understand the French anger because the shipyard, which was in big crisis like 10, 15 years ago, was rebuilding with new contracts. And one of these contracts, important contracts, was just the building of submarines for Australia. Schools had been built there. Many work contracts will have to be cancelled. So it's a big blow for the French diplomacy, for the French economy. So there are some reasons to understand the reason why the French diplomacy and Macron also, the French government, the authorities are really very, very angry.
Well, a report says the CIA had warned about civilian presence just before the missile fired by a U.S. military drone hit the Afghan capital last month. According to informed sources, the CIA's warning was heard 29 seconds before the missile struck its target, killing 10 civilians, including 7 children. The families of the victims are now demanding a face-to-face apology and compensation for the lives of their loved ones. A top American general has already admitted that the August 29th attack didn't kill any terrorists. The U.S. had earlier claimed the missile fired from its drone hit a position of Daesh terrorists. Washington then said that the attack was in retaliation for the bombing of the Kabul airport as foreign nationals were being evacuated. Author and political commentator John Stepling believes the U.S. drone attack in Afghanistan shows the West's indifference to protecting human lives.
They'll give them $1,000 a child or something. I mean, 30 seconds warning is tantamount to no warning. And I just think that people have to sit back. If you're a parent and you imagine your child playing in the yard and suddenly the yard blows up with the child in it, what would you feel like? What would your attitude toward the United States be? It just has to stop. And yet, you know, we saw with Israel in Gaza, the last attack on Gaza, the incredible number of children that were killed, maimed. This seems to be the Western, an expression of just Western indifference to human life, frankly.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have held a protest rally to voice their support for the rearrested inmates who had escaped from an Israeli jail 2 weeks ago. They also called on the international bodies not to remain silent in the face of basic right violations of Palestinian inmates in Israeli jails. Robert Shabbat reports from Gaza.
The rearrest of the last two remaining Palestinian inmates who had escaped from an Israeli jail has sparked public outrage among the Palestinians. Palestinians have come together in the Gaza Strip to voice their anger at Israel's growing pressure on the Palestinian inmates.
We in the Gaza Strip stress that fight against the Israeli occupation will go on and the rearrest of the inmates won't deter us from expressing our solidarity with them. The prison break of the Palestinian inmates has inflicted a heavy blow on Israel's image. The resistance front has vowed to set them free in the coming exchange deal. We will never forget this achievement.
Reports say the two men were caught alive in Jenin, their hometown in the West Bank, after they were surrounded by Israeli army.
معبرة عن رفضنا لهذا.
We have come here to condemn the inhumane Israeli treatment of our prisoners. Our message to our inmates is that we will keep supporting them until they are freed. The international community has ignored the issue of Palestinian prisoners for years.
2 weeks ago, six Palestinian inmates caved through a dug hole in the floor of their shared cell, exposing deep security flaws of Israeli system. Palestinians held several rallies calling for ending the Israeli violation of prisoners' rights.
Palestinians will keep holding events like this to voice their support to our detainees in Israeli jails. Israeli regime should know that our prisoners are not alone and we view them as symbol of resistance. The international community should break its silence and expose the true nature of Israeli regime.
Thousands of Palestinians are held in Israeli jails, with hundreds of them under the practice of administrative detention.
Palestinians here stress the rearresting of two inmates who broke out of the Jabal prison does not hide the fragility of the Israeli security system. Palestinians see this cave as a remarkable incident in the history of the Palestinian cause, demanding the international community to stop Israel's torture against detainees. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
A vote counting has begun in a parliamentary election in Russia's Far East regions. Ballots are counted after the three-day election ended earlier on Sunday. Local government says around 39% of citizens eligible to cast ballots participated in the voting. President Vladimir Putin's party is expected to retain its majority. His United Russia party currently holds nearly a third of parliamentary seats. Now, the party saw a slump in popularity, but despite that, it is still more popular than its rivals, the Communist Party and the Nationalist LDPR Party. Well, Canadians prepare to vote in the upcoming federal elections on September the 20th. Muslims make up 3.2% of the country's population, and their vote can make a critical difference in the results. Muslims are calling for more efforts to combat Islamophobia, as Canada has suffered more hate-motivated mass killings in the last 5 years than any other G7 country. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 19th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard in this program. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, the Sunday program. And I have to note here that many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and very useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL from us. So, here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Abdul Alim from Bangladesh, Nicholas Lynch from New Zealand, and Alan Willey from Canada. Abdul Alim, Nicholas, and Alan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So many thanks for sending us reception reports. And of course, we have so many letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails. Today, we have many fascinating emails from around the world. First of all, here we have an email from Maje Yanchara from Poland. We have an email from Abu Sayed from Bangladesh. From Portugal, we have an email from Paulo Duarte, who is one of our regular listeners. From another regular listener, we have an email from Martin Steiner from Australia. And the last but not the least is an email from Howard Barnett, one of our regular listeners. From England, many thanks for sending us emails and letters from around the world. So, after a short break, I will be back with these fascinating emails. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and you just heard a very beautiful piece of Iranian traditional music. And as I said, we have an email from Poland. This email is from Maciej Janczara. For your information, Maciej Janczara, our great listener from Poland, has written the right pronunciation of his name, because I don't know Polish, and he has thankfully has written the right pronunciation of his name so that I can pronounce his name rightfully. So thank you, Maciej Janczara. So Maciej Janczara from Poland says, "Dear the staff of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I'm glad to say that I listen to your station on shortwave here in Lublin, Poland. The signal was strong, with little noise and a slight fading, but not making transmission difficult to understand. Narrow bandwidth was necessary due to squeak from other station in wide mode. I am a young shortwave listener. I like to listen to your radio broadcast because they help me learn more about Iranian culture. I also love listening to archive programs on your website. My favorites are Iranian Market and Close Up Iran. I hope you find my report useful and would be grateful for confirming my reception with an EQSL. It's understandable you're not sending paper QSLs during the pandemic. I hope I will be able to obtain it next time. Best regards." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Maciej Janczara from Poland. Many thanks for writing this amazing email to IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you're carefully following our programs in IRIB English Radio, and you know many things about it. That's great. We have you with us. So we are so happy that you found the reception great. As you said, the signal was strong and only you had a little noise. So that's great. And we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in your region, in Lublin, Poland. It's great. So, you listen to the programs Iranian Market and Close Up Iran. Of course, you said you listen to the archives. Yes. So, the archives are available at our website. But on Mondays, Close Up Iran is being broadcast at IRIB English Radio. That's great. We are so happy that you reflected your views about our programs in your email. So, Maciej Janczara, many thanks again for writing this email to us. Continue doing so. We are waiting for another email from you, Maciej, from Poland. Many thanks. And from Bangladesh, as I said, we have an email from Abu Sayed. Abu Sayed from Bangladesh says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy to get your email. For some time, I could not access your website from Bangladesh. However, the problem is no more at the moment. Your website is always very interesting. It would be great if we can receive a paper QSL card from your side again, because in my opinion, it plays an effective role in increasing the listener of your interesting radio. We are always with you and hope our relationship deepens. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh. We are so happy that there is this relationship between us and you, and we also hope that our relationship deepens and deepens more and more. We all wish you all the best. Many thanks for writing this interesting email. Of course, we hope that we could soon send you a paper QSL card, and as you know, most of our listeners around the world like the paper QSL card. It's something like listening to shortwave or traditional radio. It's more palpable and it's pleasant. Yes, I know it. But according to international laws regarding the coronavirus pandemic, for the time being, we just can send our dear listeners eQSLs. So please be patient until the coronavirus is over around the world, and then we can send our dear listeners paper QSL cards and the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. Okay, many thanks for writing this email to us. We are so happy to have you with us, and we hope this relationship deepens. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other amazing emails from around the world. And now, here we have an email from Portugal. This email is from Paulo Duarte, one of our regular listeners. So, Paulo says, thank you for your reply. I'd like to receive QSL cards from your radio station, but unfortunately, I don't listen shortwave radios anymore, and the only way I access your broadcast is internet. And of course, I listen to your radio via your website, and I have to say that your website condition is very good. I just don't know about your program's schedule. Could you please send me a copy of that, please? Salam and warmest greetings to you, Paulo Duarte, from Portugal. And I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email. So, you said you don't listen to shortwave radio stations anymore. Why don't you tell us why you don't do that? We want to know why you don't listen to shortwave radio anymore, but fortunately you have access to our broadcast through internet. That's great, and we're so happy you enjoy the programs and the condition of the website. That's great. And you mentioned something about the paper QSL cards, and as I have mentioned several times during the programs, it's not possible because of the coronavirus. And regarding your request about sending you program schedule, you can find our program's schedule through our website. Yes, it's on our website, the program's schedule and the frequency schedule. There you can find it. And it's not possible to send you a copy of that because of coronavirus pandemic. So soon after the corona is over, we will send you what you have requested. Paulo Duarte from Portugal, many thanks for writing to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from Australia, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Martin Snainer. Martin says, hi, IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for your EQSL card. It is unfortunate that your QSL card was rejected by our mailing system, and I appreciate that you went to the effort of sending out the EQSL. Kind regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Martin Steiner from Australia, and many thanks for reflecting your views about EQSL and QSL cards through this email. Of course, we resume sending QSL cards after the pandemic is over, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Write to us soon, Martin, from Australia, and tell us your views about our programs. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Howard Barnett. Stay with us. Heard a piece of Iranian traditional music again. Well, as I said, here we have an email from England. This is from Howard Barnett, one of our regular listeners, who says, dear sir or madam at IRIB English Radio, hello again. I thought I sent you another reception report. I tuned into your radio station via internet. What I heard was the program Discovering Islam. This was a talk about Islamic literature, Quran, and God. This was followed by a station announcement, then some music. Next, you advertise your programs, then the program In the Limelight, which talked about the coronavirus. I will be delighted to receive another EQSL, yours sincerely. Salam, hello, warmest greetings to you, Howard Barnett from England. Many thanks for writing this email to us. So, you tuned in to our radio via internet. So, why don't you listen to IRM English radio via shortwave or traditional radio? Tell us why. And what you caught was a program discovering Islam, and then talking about Islamic literature, the Noble Quran, and God. And you also heard the station announcement and then some music. And it seems that you also listened to our program In the Limelight. So, Howard Barnett from England, why don't you tell us your views about our programs? Tell us which program or programs you like the best. So, my colleagues, Howard Barnett, will send you soon an EQSL card. Yes, wait for one of them. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Howard Barnett from England. So, dear listeners, time tells me that we have to skip to the next section of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Yes, I'm 61 years of age. I'm a shortwave listener. I've been a shortwave listener for many years, listening to international broadcasts from all over the world. Well, I'm very glad that you are remaining on shortwave. Some international broadcasters have ceased broadcasting on shortwave in favor of the internet or satellite, but I'm glad that your station is remaining on shortwave and does put out a good signal here in Western Europe. So I'm very pleased to say that you're going against the trend of leaving shortwave, and you are remaining on shortwave. And I believe that is very, very important, because there are many people who still do listen around the world on shortwave. Well, your broadcasts are very, very factual and very informative, and give a good view of your opinion on world events, and I find them quite interesting.
And before we wrap up this week's additional listeners special, I again thanks those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and letters, including Majie Yanchara, Howard Barnett, Paulo Duarte, Martin Steiner, Abu Sayed, Alan Willey, Nicholas Lynch, and Abdul Alim. Keep in touch with IRM English Radio, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982120. 00982123720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with our Abbey English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
A new poll suggests Americans are growing increasingly pessimistic about the state of democracy, with a majority believing that an election will be overturned in the next few years because elected officials are dissatisfied with the result. The survey conducted by CNN and SSRS found that 56% of respondents believe American democracy is under attack. 37% of those polled said American democracy is being tested but is not under attack, and 6% said American democracy is in no danger. Those numbers, however, begin to split when looking at the party breakdowns. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Mikhail Chanel Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Poll Says Majority of Americans Say Democracy is Under Attack. Stay tuned for more. A new poll suggests Americans are growing increasingly pessimistic about the state of democracy, with a majority believing that the election will be overturned in the next few years because elected officials are dissatisfied with the result. The survey conducted by CNN and SSRS found that 56% of respondents believe American democracy is under attack. 37% of those polled said American democracy is being tested, but is not under attack, and 6% said American democracy is in no danger. Those numbers, however, begin to split when looking at the party breakdowns. The poll found that 75% of Republicans believe that democracy is under attack, compared to 46% of Democrats. When observing Republicans and Republican-leaning independents, individuals who say former President Donald Trump is the leader of the GOP are far likelier to say democracy is under threat compared to those who do not believe he should lead the party, 79% to 51% respectively. Americans, however, were virtually split when it came to confidence in U.S. elections reflecting the will of the people. 48% of respondents said they were very or somewhat confident in American elections, compared to 52% who said they were just a little or not at all confident. With a margin of error of 2.8 percentage points, those levels are deadlocked. The poll also found that 51% of respondents say it is very likely to somewhat likely that in the next few years, some elected officials will successfully overturn the results of a U.S. election because their party did not win. 49% of respondents said such a situation is not too likely or not likely at all. The polling comes after Trump and his allies waged a campaign that argued that the 2020 presidential election was fraudulent, despite there being scant evidence to bolster those claims. A number of GOP-led states have since introduced legislation to combat the alleged fraud. According to the Brennan Center, as of July, 18 states have already enacted 30 laws that will make it more difficult for Americans to vote. The poll surveyed 2,119 people between August 3rd and September 7th. Senate Democrats recently unveiled an election reform bill that would expand things like mail-in and early voting and crack down on election subversion and money in politics, their effort to counteract GOP state voting restrictions. However, though the bill has the backing of moderate Senator Joe Manchin, it lacks support from Senate Republicans and is unlikely to overcome the Senate's 60-vote filibuster threshold. recent moves by Trump and his allies are likely to only worsen Republican voters' faith in elections. Trump and California recall candidate Larry Elder, a right-wing radio host, repeatedly and baselessly claimed in the run-up to the vote that it would be stolen through widespread fraud. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, handily beat back the recall effort recently. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Imam Khamenei's televised speech addressing the new wave of coronavirus, August 13, 2021. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, greetings be upon Hussein, upon Ali ibn al-Hussein, upon the children of Hussein, and upon the companions of Hussein, those who laid down their lives for Hussein in a generous way. I do not intend to give a speech. I only deem it necessary to raise some points with officials and our dear people about the new wave of the coronavirus pandemic. When this enemy, the coronavirus, acquires a new form, one's defensive formation and strategy should naturally change as well. When it enters the field with a new methodology, we too should impose new protocols and adopt new, powerful and firm measures and positions in order to combat this disease, which is a major peril today. my opinion, the coronavirus pandemic is the first issue of the country. It is an urgent issue that should be pursued seriously. Well, the infection and death rate are really painful. It looks simple, but when we take a look, it is not a minor issue to see that more than 500 families have to mourn the loss of their dear ones, or that tens of thousands of people get infected. The problem is not only the loss of one's dear ones, but also becoming sick is very difficult. Those who get infected and become sick endure many hardships in order to find medication, receive treatment, undergo tests, and face various other problems. The heart of every Muslim and every compatriot truly aches when they see this situation. Therefore, we have certain duties. The Honorable President fortunately set a deadline a few days ago, which was really a good course of action, as it helps all officials grasp the significance of the matter and put forward every idea and necessary suggestion. I wish to use this opportunity to say that once the 1 week deadline is over, all officials should implement the decisions and suggestions, whatever decision they took and whatever idea they put forward, doing so by taking all aspects of the issue into consideration.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.